This chapter is entitled as Divisions of the Creation, text 11, Maitreya Uvacha, Guna, Vyati Karakaro, Vyati Karakaro, Nirvishesha, Apratishthitaha, Purushas, Tad, Upadanam, Atmanam, Atmanam, Lilaya Shrijayat, Lilaya Shrijayat, Maitreya Uvacha, Gunavyati Karakaro, Nirvishesha Pratishthitaha, Purushastad Upadanam, Atmanam Lilaya Srija. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya said, eternal time is the primordial source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pastime in the material creation. Please repeat after me. Maitreya said, eternal time is the primordial source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pastime in the material creation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Law. It is the ingredient of the assistance offered to material nature. No one knows where time began and where it ends, and it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. This time factor is the material cause of creation and is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. The time factor is also explained by modern men in various ways. Some accept it almost as it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It is stated therein, quote, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. I'll repeat, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change of life, speed, change, and life of a particular object. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. Time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses, by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. Pandit Chanakya says that even a slight fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars. And therefore, even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in life. Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that the time factor is intermixed with the activities, actions and reactions of the external energy of the Lord. The external energy or material nature works under the superintendence of the time factor as the Lord Himself. And that is why material nature appears to have produced so many wonderful things in the cosmic manifestation. Bhagavad Gita 9.10 confirms this conclusion as follows. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sa chara charam hetunane na konteya jagad viparivartate. Maitreya uvacha guna vyati parakaro nirvishesha pratishthitaha purushastad upadanam atmanam lilaya svijat. Maitreya said, eternal time is the primable source of the interaction of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pastimes in the material creation. So, in this chapter, systematically different stages of creation has been described. Actually, in all the Puranas, in the very beginning, the creation has been described. And here also, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, actually we have to understand in Bhagavat Puran, the first canto and second canto is more or less the introduction. And the third canto is beginning with the creation. And in third canto, as the discussion between Maitreya and Vidura takes place, the science of creation has been very emphatically, very elaborately described. And also in the later part of third canto, in 26th chapter, Kapildev also explained to his mother, Devahuti, the science of creation. So here we can see, actually in the fifth canto, in the fifth chapter, when Vidura was explaining to Maitreya, Maitreya was explaining to Vidura about creation, it has been described how the Lord glanced at the Prakriti. And due to his glance, the Prakriti or material nature became manifest. Prior to that, Prakriti was avyakta or unmanifest. It has been described that the creation in the beginning has three aspects: avyakta, pradhan and Prakriti. In the beginning, the Prakriti was avyakta, unmanifest. And that unmanifest stage has been defined as a complete equilibrium of the mode of the material nature. When the three modes of material nature are in perfect equilibrium, then the material nature becomes unmanifest. But as the material nature became agitated due to the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Karanodakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu, the mode started to interact. And that interaction of different modes of the material nature is the elementary cause of creation. The primordial cause of creation actually is the glance of the Supreme Personality of God. And Kapildev in 26th chapter explains that how Bohiranga Prakriti or material nature comes close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to associate with Him. And at that time, the Lord simply glances at the material nature. And the material nature becomes agitated, kubdha. And the creation actually begins. And there, Kapila emphatically pointed out that the Lord does not directly get involved with the external energy, material nature. He never directly gets involved with the material nature. In Brahma Samhita also it has been pointed out that in order to deal with the material nature, the Lord transforms Himself as Shiva. Vishnu never deals, or Narayana, Krishna, never deals directly with the material nature. At the most He glances at the material nature. But never ever He gets directly involved. It's an indirect involvement. And in order to involve with the material nature, He transforms Himself as Lord Shiva, Sambhu. Kshiram yatha dabhi vikara vishesha yoga samjayate nahi tata prithagasti hetu ja sambhu tamopi samupaiti karja. In order to perform some specific mission, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Krishna, transforms Himself as Sambhu. Just as milk is transformed into yogurt. Actually, Lord Shiva and Vishnu are not different. But in order to deal with the material nature, Vishnu transforms Himself into Lord Shiva. And as Lord Shiva, He deals with the material nature. Therefore, Lord Shiva is the husband of Mahamaya, Durga, or material nature. Just as the husband impregnates the womb of the wife, similarly, Lord Shiva impregnates this Mahamaya, or material nature, with the living entity. The living entities are impregnated in the womb of material nature through Lord Shiva. And as a result of that, the manifested nature, or as a result of that, the material nature becomes manifested. So prior to that, it was in an abhyakta stage. Bhakta abhyakta dini bhutani bhakta madhani bharata. Krishna also said in Bhagavad Gita, that in this material nature, abhyakta dini bhutani, that all the elements, all the paraphernalia or objects of this material nature are actually in an abhyakta stage. The entire material nature was in an abhyakta or unmanifest stage. But bhakta madhani bharata, only in the middle, between two abhyakta phases, at certain point the material nature becomes vyakta or manifested. And that is the period when Mahavishnu glances at the material nature. As he glances at the material nature, the creation begins, and as he withdraws his glances, the creation dissolves. And towards the beginning of this chapter, 10th chapter, it has been described that there are three types of dissolution, three types of annihilation. One is nitya annihilation, naimittic annihilation, and prakrita annihilation. And nitya annihilation is the when the Lord withdraws His glance, then the whole creation dissolves. That is the eternal dissolution. Brahma dies at that time. Not dies, Brahma doesn't actually die. Brahma goes back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He withdraws His glance. That is the total annihilation or eternal annihilation, nitya. Then the next kind of annihilation, the second type of annihilation is naimittic. When the ingredients of nature dissolve, that is the naimittic annihilation. up to Swargaloka, the manifested creation dissolves due to the fire that is emanated from the mouth of Shankarshan. And that is the time actually when Brahma falls asleep. After Brahma falls asleep, Sahasra Yuga Parjantam, for 1,000 Divya Yuga, Brahma remains awake. Then he falls asleep and sleeps for another 1,000 Divya Yuga. Something like 4,200,000,000 years. For 4,200,000,000 years, Brahma sleeps. And at that time, the creation up to Sarvaloka dissolves, just falls apart with the fire from Shankarshan's mouth. And that the heat of the fire actually reaches up to Maharloka. And the residents of Maharloka at that time leaves Maharloka and goes to Janaloka. They take shelter of Janaloka because Maharloka becomes so hot that they cannot possibly stay there. And it has been described in the beginning of this chapter again that this annihilation, noimittic annihilation, touches only up to Sarvaloka. But the other planets do not get destroyed. And Prabhupada is explaining why. Because the residents of other higher planetary systems of Maharloka, Janaloka, Kapaloka and Sattaloka, they are involved in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Because they are involved in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not subject to destruction. So destruction, or rather one becomes subject to birth and death, only when he is involved in sense gratification. Those who are not involved in sense gratification, they are transcendental to birth and death. So the residents above Sarvaloka do not actually die, even at the time of annihilation. And the duration, they remain till Dviparartha Kala. They remain throughout the span of Brahma's life. And then at the end of Brahma's life, they go back to the Supreme Personality of God. That is the general rule. Of course, there are also instances when people have fallen down from Brahmaloka. There is a very graphic example in Mahabharata. King Shantanu, Bhishma's father, in his previous life was elevated to Brahmaloka due to his pious activity. By accumulating heaps of pious activities, he was promoted to Brahmaloka, Sattaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. So at that time, Ganga Devi, Mother Ganga, came carrying the water, Ganges water, for Brahma's sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so at that time, in a gentle breeze, the cloth, the sari, was shifted from Ganga's body and her breast became exposed, and the king looked at her. And Brahma noticed it. So he immediately cursed him in the sense, told him that you are not eligible to stay in Sattaloka. You are behaving like an ordinary mortal, human being. So he had to come down to this earth planet. And he became the king in the Moon Dynasty, Chandravamsa, King Shantanu, and Jaya Shishi Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu Shakti Brinda. As King Shantanu And because he desired Ganga Devi, so his desire was fulfilled and he was married to Ganga. So in this way there are examples how people fall down from, even from Saptaloka. One may even fall down from Saptaloka if he is not properly, if his consciousness is not properly purified. So the point actually is that generally one is not subject to birth and death from those planets, in those planets. And it has been described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that up to Sarvaloka, that Bhur, Bhuva and Swa, these three planets are meant for householders. The householders involved in material enjoyment travel between these three planets. Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. And the Swargaloka provides with highest kind of sense gratification in the form of indulging in drinking soma rasa, a nectarian beverage, that then listening to celestial music played by Gandharvas and Kinnaras, and associating with the dancing girls known as Apsaras. So these are the material enjoyments of drinking, eating, and indulging in sex life. But of course this sex life in heavenly planet is very refined. They are not gross. Unless and until one conquers the gross sex desire, one cannot even be elevated to the heavenly planet. People, those who are very much involved in sex life, they will fall down to the lower planetary system or in lower species of life. Those who are pious, those who are sense-controlled, they get higher form of sense enjoyment in heavenly planets. And then the Upakurvan Brahmacharis go to Maharloka. Upakurvan Brahmachari means those who are not Brahmacharis, who are not Brahmacharis from the very beginning of their life. But then they attain perfection of Brahmachari life. Then Vanaprasthis go to Janaloka. The perfected Vanaprasthis go to Janaloka. Then Naishthiki Brahmacharis, like four Kumaras or Pippalayan Rishi, they go to, rather their abode is Tapaloka. And those who have perfected in their sannyas life, they go to Saptaloka, or abode of Lord Brahma. But of course we must remember here that this classification are for according to the general varnashram consideration. The sannyasi, brahmachari and vanaprasthi and householders, according to the varnashram consideration, when they perfect in their ashram, then they are elevated to these different planets. But for a devotee, he does not go to these higher planets, but there a devotee's destination is actually Vaikuntha Loka and beyond. A devotee does not even want to go to Brahma Jyoti. These planetary considerations are in the Brahmanda, in the universe. And beyond that, beyond this planetary system of the universe, there are different elements, different coverings, seven coverings of different elements. And each one is 10 times larger than the previous one. Like larger than, higher than the space in the universe, 10 times larger than the space within the womb of the universe is the space of, is the layer of earth in a causal form. Then there is the next is the layer of water that is 10 times larger than the layer of earth. Then there is the layer of fire that is 10 times larger than the layer of water. Then there is the layer of air, which is 10 times larger than the layer of fire. And then finally the layer of ether, and that is 10 times larger than the layer of air. And then there is the layer of ahankar and buddhi. The ahankar, false ego, and intelligence. And beyond that, beyond these seven layers, is the layer of prakriti, which is the final layer, the eighth layer. And beyond the layer of prakriti is viraja, is the causal ocean, or viraja river. Beyond that causal ocean is Brahma Jyoti. And beyond Brahma Jyoti are the Vaikuntha planets. And then there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets presided by different Vishnu Murtis. But even beyond that Vaikuntha, in the higher region of the Vaikuntha planet is the abode of Lord Ramchandra, known as Ayodhya. Then beyond Ayodhya is Dwarka. And beyond Dwarka is Mathura Mandal. And the central part, or the highest region of Mathura Mandal, is Golok Vrindavan. So a devotee's destination is beyond Brahma Jyoti, beyond Viraja, beyond these layers of material nature, beyond Viraja, beyond Brahma Jyoti, in the Vaikuntha planet. And for a devotee in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their destination is actually Golok, either in Vrindavan or in Namati. So to go back to the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out that the Lord glances at the material nature and the material nature becomes manifest. And that glance is manifest in the form of time, kala. And here again, Prabhupada said that the time factor in the material nature is actually relative factor, relative consideration. But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that there are two aspects of time. One is the time in its eternal aspect, and the time in a relative aspect. In the material nature, the time is in a relative aspect, starting from the beat of an atom. The beat of an atom, the pulse of an atom, is the lowest, the smallest consideration, the smallest count of time. Paramanu is the smallest material particle. And the pulse of that particle is the smallest concept of time. And the largest concept of time is the lifespan of Brahma. And in between there are different other concepts of time. So in this material nature, time is actually relative. It is a relative consideration. We can see that sometimes the time moves very fast and sometimes time moves slowly. When we go through difficulties, then the time moves very slowly. But when we are enjoying, then the time moves very fast. So in this way we can see how time is actually relative to our consciousness. And then in this material nature, time is present in three aspects. They are past, present and future, three kalas. Time has three aspects: the past, present and future. But if we analyze it scrutinizingly, then we see that in this material nature, the time is actually present in the form of past and future. Present is just a fleeting concept. Present is actually not existent in this material nature. Before you can even grasp the present, it's gone into the past. So in this way, the time is constantly flowing. And present is just a fleeting concept. But in the spiritual sky, the time is present as nitya vartaman, as eternally present. In the spiritual sky, the time is eternally present. But how that is, we do not really know. Because from this platform, we cannot possibly understand how time can be eternally present. Just as from a reflection, we cannot possibly understand the real object. Like seeing a reflection of a tree, we cannot understand how can one find the tree. If we try to find the reflection, then what will happen? In the pool of water. We'll plunge into the pool of water. We won't be able to grasp the tree as it appears in the reflection. But if we go to the land and see the real tree, then we know how it feels like, how it is, and then we can climb it if we want to. So similarly, from the reflection of time, that is, in the material nature, we cannot possibly understand what the real time is like in its eternally present concept. And there, past and future is like a reflection. The past and future is like a concept. Actually, time in the spiritual sky is eternally present, and that has been destroyed because Krishna is the source of time, and time is Krishna, is serving Krishna past time, and everyone in the spiritual sky is tuned up to Krishna and his past time. Therefore, everyone in the spiritual sky is existing in eternal time. And there is no past and future. Only sometimes they think, oh, when Krishna was a child, he did this. Or when we were in Vrindavan, a demon called Pralambasura came, or Aghasura came. And then this is how Krishna killed him. So this is how there is a concept, a reflect concept of future and past. But time there is eternally present. But through this material concept of time, the kala, which is actually an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is his impersonal manifestation, Krishna creates this material nature. So those who are actually very fond of impersonal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fall in the lap of time. And the ultimate feature of time in this material nature is death. So Krishna says that, I destroy, destroyer I am of everything in the form of time. So in the form of time, Krishna, those who do not accept Krishna's Sachidananda Vigraha, his eternally blissful and not eternal, his form of eternal knowledge and bliss, those who do not become attached to that form, they will become subject to Krishna's form as time. And in that form, they will be destroyed by Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes, Guru.
I have two questions. One was that time is relative in this material world. Like you were explaining the atom and life of Brahma. Time is also relative to the individual. And you described that Brahma is awake for 12 of his hours and then he sleeps for 12 of his hours. There were theories in Maya. That's a long time to sleep. If we sleep 12 hours, everybody will think we're in Maya. So the first question is, how do you explain that he's in Maya for that long? And the second question is that when that annihilation happens, we read that the holy places, Purusha, etc., Navadvip, Dham, they're not annihilated. What happens to those?
Okay, I'll first answer the first question and then get into the second. Actually, what happens when Brahma falls asleep? Sahasra Shrisha Purusha, or the Lord Hiranyagarbha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in that form, Brahma lies down with him. Right? So if we can afford to lie down with Krishna, then what to speak of 12 hours? We can sleep for a whole span of life and we will be in Maya. So actually when Brahma lies down, he doesn't get into Maya. And he summers as such. But he goes in a sort of yoga nidra, where he renders his service to the Supreme Personality of God. Although his physical form lies down, but internally he is with the Supreme Personality of God. So I mean, now you can repeat your second question.
The second question is that during these different annihilations, we read in the Quran, like this example of Markandeya, lived for several cultures. And when the annihilation happens, oftentimes he lands in Jagannath Puri, and that's not annihilated. Or he lands in Godhu and the cow pulls him, and that's not annihilated. You know, Vrindavan. So those replicas of the spiritual abode are not annihilated. What happens
to them?
They just exist in the middle of the fire or in the middle of the ocean.
You see, the annihilation is only for the conditioned soul, right? For a pure devotee, for a pure spirit soul, there is no question of annihilation, or there is no question of his getting into a slumber or oblivion. Because his consciousness, a pure devotee's consciousness, continues without any interruption, because he is in pure consciousness. So those who are conditioned souls, according to them or according to their understanding, there is annihilation and everything is destroyed. But the spiritual abode of the Lord exists spiritually, eternally. And his associates remain in that abode, although conditioned souls cannot see them. Just like Mahaprabhu's pastime is still going on here, but they are not visible to our conditioned vision. But someday, if our vision gets purified, then we'll be able to see how Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, are performing his eternal pastimes. Now, the consideration is that if his pastimes are eternal, then will they ever be subject to annihilation? Right? So the pastimes carry go on, and his pure devotees remain in this abode without being affected by annihilation. Yes, Dhamra?
You said that Shiva is the expansion of Narayana before the state of that spiritual knowledge. So why is the third offense to chant the name of Shiva as Brahma, the ego of the Krishna? It is the same personality. Just like we don't say chant the name of Narayana as Krishna. And also
to consider that the name of demigods like Lord Shiva and Brahma and others to be equal to or independent of the holy name of the Lord. So that is to place Lord Shiva on an equal platform, on an exact equal platform as Vishnu or Krishna is an offense. Just as it is a mistake to call yogurt milk. Right? If you go to a shop and say, I want a kilo of milk. So when he gives you milk, they say, no, I didn't want this, I wanted that. Then what will the shopkeeper say? Then you fool, why didn't you tell me yogurt you wanted? So although it is same, but there is a difference. That's the point that I was trying to make, that in one sense there is no difference, because Vishnu himself expanded as Shiva. But there is a difference, because it is a transformation to deal with the material nature. But then again, another consideration is that often in the material nature, less intelligent people mistake the expansions of Lord Shiva, like the Rudra, to be equal to Sadashiva. The non-different aspect you know, that immediate transformation of Mahavishnu is actually Sadashiv. But to mistake the Rudras to be Sadashiv is actually, is offensive. And, yes, Gordon. Yeah. Mm. So, first thing that we, okay, the question is that Vishnu, you explained that as Vishnu glances at Maya, then the material nature becomes manifest. But sometimes it's also explained that from the body of Mahavishnu, the universes are created. So, why? I mean, how do you harmonize these two concepts? Yeah, that's right, Gauranga Swami? Yeah. So first of all, we have to understand that Angani Yashya Shatalendriya Vritti Manti Pashyanti Panti Kalayanti Chiranjaganti. That his different angas, different parts of his body or different senses can perform the activities of different other senses. So, from his eye, with his eyes, he can glance, he can also breathe, and so on and so forth. So, from one aspect it has been described, or in some way it has been described that he is glancing, but in some other aspect it has been pointed out that he is lying in the causal ocean, and as he is breathing, the bubbles caused in the causal ocean are actually the universal. So we have to understand that they are actually non-different, only two different aspects of his activity. The primeval, the first aspect of his activity is to glance at Maya, and Maya becomes agitated, the creation begins. And another way of looking at it is that he is lying in the causal ocean, and physically the universal became manifest as the bubble rose due to his breathing in the causal ocean. Is that clear, Gauranga Swami? I can also add another point, that we have to understand that these are all inconceivable. You know, we are actually dealing with something that is inconceivable. But that inconceivable has been explained in the scriptures for our concept. Therefore, we have to just accept them as they have been mentioned. Even though there may be some apparent contradiction, we have to harmonize those contradictions with faith, that whatever has been mentioned in the scriptures are the truth and nothing but the truth. The creation is caused by his glance. At the same time it is caused by his lying in the causal ocean and the bubbles coming. And actually, they have been presented in that way because of our understanding. Because actually what it is like, we cannot even imagine. Can you imagine what the glance of Mahavishnu like? Can you imagine? We can't imagine what it is like. Now, can you imagine what is the agitation of Prakriti is like? Right. So we have to understand that the Prakriti at that time was in the cause, in an objective form or unmanifested form. And in that form, nothing was actually there, or everything was in a latent form, but then as he glanced, the time factor entered into the nature, and that caused the agitation in the three modes, and due to the different interactions of the modes, and the ahankar tattva, the different aspects of creation started to begin, like from the mode of goodness arose Vaikarik Ahankar, from the mode of passion, rose Taijasa Ahankar, and from the mode of ignorance, rose Tamasa Ahankar. From Vaikarik Ahankar, mind and the demigods appeared. From Taijasa Ahankar, the senses appeared, and along with intelligence. And then, from Tamasa Ahankar, all the gross material elements became manifest. Mother Krishna. Material nature is just as a dream. As long as we are dreaming, the dream is real. So the material nature is like the dream of Mahavishnu. But there are two types of dreams. There are individual dreams and collective dreams. The individual dreams are like when we fall asleep, then we dream, then that is an individual dream. But what we are going through in this material nature is a collective dream. Now actually it is a dream, but this is a dream of Mahavishnu. So whoever comes at certain time and space, then he experiences the same kind of dream. Like whoever is present in this room will experience whatever is going on here, at this point in time, at this particular space. So Mahavishnu's dream is encompassing the entire creation, and whoever is present in different spots of the creation and will get tuned up to Mahavishnu's dream and experience this material reality accordingly. Is that clear? Is that okay, Mother Krishna Rupa? Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, okay, fine. I didn't really quite get the point, actually.
Just making a comment.
Yeah.
They do mention that Brahma lays down with Hiranyagarbha, and she's just enhancing that by saying that what Hiranyagarbha and Brahma are doing is that Hiranyagarbha is instructing Brahma how to again recreate those lower planets. Comment
you made. Oh, I see. Did you read it somewhere? I see. Throughout the entire span of his sleep? Right, at some point he does that I remember. That at some point he describes when he is about to begin his creation, recreate the lower planetary system, he is instructed again. But what I said was actually from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There it is described that when at the end of Brahma's day, he actually lies down with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you know, the sleep that is induced there is more like Yoga Nidra with the Supreme Lord. I see. That's what Prabhupada is pointing out, that the time existed even before creation, according to Hebrew concept, when the Lord actually instructed the fathers, forefathers, the God who at sundry times, and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. No, what Prabhupada is pointing out, the concept of time as being eternal. That's not just during the span of creation, but it existed even before creation. Vedavyas? Fall from Vaikuntha. Yes, if Krishna wants, the question is it possible for one to fall from Vaikuntha? Yes, one can fall from Vaikuntha only when Krishna desires. And they fall down, they come down actually in order to participate in Krishna's pastimes. Krishna makes arrangements sometimes in order to bring his associates to the material nature. Like somebody curses, like you, I curse you that you fall into the earth planet. And takes God to the cowherd family. But actually, it is Krishna's arrangement, Jogamaya's arrangement, to bring those living entities to the earth planet in order to participate in Krishna's pastimes. Very nice question, Vedavyas. Hare Krishna.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.